things we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
This is VOA's Sunny Young in Washington. Welcome to the Sunny Side of Sports. The Voice of America Swahili Service Chief, Mwamoyo Hoops Hamza, will be joining us once again this evening for some NBA hoops talk. But first, a quick look at some of Tuesday night's NBA highlights. In a game between the top two teams in the Western Conference, the defending NBA champion Golden State Warriors scored an easy victory over the visiting Denver Nuggets. The AP's Ryan Leong reports from Oakland, California.
The Warriors lead the Nuggets by two games in the West with five remaining after blowing out Denver 116-102. Although Kevin Durant was ejected in the third quarter, the Warriors piled on and led by as many as 30 points. DeMarcus Cousins had a season-high 28 points and a game-high 12 rebounds. Durant added 21 points, and Stephen Curry had 17 points, passing Hall of Famer and former Warrior Chris Mullin for fourth place on the franchise scoring list. Curry says there's added incentive trying to secure the number one seed in the West.
We were kind of locked into that two seed for, seemed like, about a month last year. So tonight was a reminder of what playoff atmosphere is like.
While the Nuggets had seven players in double figures, the leading scorer was Jamal Murray with 17 points, and Denver shot only 37.5% from the field. Ryan Leong, Oakland.
Thanks, Ryan. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Now let's go to Oklahoma City, Oklahoma, where Russell Westbrook made history Tuesday night. The dynamic Oklahoma City Thunder guard did something that was last done by the late, great Wilt Chamberlain more than 50 years ago. The AP's Brian Henderson reports from Oklahoma City.
The Oklahoma City Thunder beat the Los Angeles Lakers 119-103. Jeremy Grant paced Thunder scores with 22 points, but Russell Westbrook had a 20-point, 20-rebound, and 21-assist triple-double. It's the first time a player's been more than 20 in all three categories since Wilt Chamberlain in 1968.
Just an unbelievable moment that I definitely won't take for granted, won't let pass by. Just completely humbled and thankful to be able to go out and play.
Kentavious Caldwell-Pope led all scorers on the night with 23 points for the Lakers, who played shorthanded without LeBron James. Alex Caruso added 15 points off the LA bench. The Thunder improved to 45-33 with the win. Brian Henderson, Oklahoma City.
Thanks, Brian. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. The VOA Swahili Service Chief, Mwamoyo Hoops Hamza, is back for more NBA Hoops talk. Sporty greetings, Mwamoyo.
Great to be here, Sonny.
Great to have you back. We'll talk Russell Westbrook, but first, the Golden State Warriors looks like they're ready for the playoffs.
Golden State Warriors, they showed up last night, and they showed that they are already getting into the playoff mode, especially after that embarrassing loss to Minnesota on Friday. Mm. So last night, they played very well. There was a lot of ball movement. They were sharing the ball. They had just the fact that they can swing the ball to an open guy who can rise up and make a basket. And, you know, they had 20 assists in that game. And as a matter of fact, in the past three games, they have had like 20 assists every game, like 61 assists. So that shows they're sharing the ball very well. So this is going five games before the playoffs, it looks like they're getting into that mojo again, you know, and
that
can be very scary, you know. But there are some other highlights. KD, Kevin Durant, he got ejected in the game in the third quarter, but he was very emphatic in the game. He was dazzling. He was brilliant. He had three big dunks, you know, at the close of the first half, and he finished with 21 points, even after being ejected in the third quarter. And now, Golden State Warriors, with this win, now they're two games ahead of Denver Nuggets, which gives them the home court advantage if it stays that way. And everybody who follows basketball knows how lethal they are at home. You know, it's extremely difficult to win a game at Oracle Arena. And so if they get this number one seed, as it says right now, they'll be very lethal and ready to, you know, retain the championship.
I like how you said that, Momoyo. They're getting their mojo back, their mojo. You mentioned that game against Minnesota. That was a feisty game, wasn't it?
Very feisty, and you know what it ended up with. It ended up with fines by the NBA for Steph Curry, Kevin Durant, and Draymond Green, all the big guys for Golden State Warriors, because now they were so frustrated and they criticized the referees so much, and. You know, this is like there's some kind of arrogance with them. Mm. You know, we have won all these championships, so the refs, you know, they have to be leaning to us and all that. So they got, you know, to criticizing the referees, and the NBA doesn't play with that. So they got fined, I think a total of $75,000. You know, so that will keep them from keeping their head as they go into the playoffs.
The addition this season, Momoyo, of DeMarcus Cousins, what has that done for the Warriors?
Great, because he's a big guy. He displaces a lot of people around the rim. Yes, last night he ended up as a top scorer, I think, with 28 points. So, you know, that's a very key player in their run for the next championship. He's doing wonders for them.
I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. I'm talking with the VOA Swahili Service Chief, Momoyo Hoops Hamza, about NBA hoops. Momoyo, we heard from Russell Westbrook in that report by Brian Henderson. He called it an unbelievable moment. What a stat line.
It is unbelievable. Now, we all know how Russell Westbrook can fill up the score box. You know, he gets triple doubles all the time, but nothing like this. 20, 20, 20. Actually, it was 20 points, 21 assists, and 20 rebounds. Mm. You know, that rarely happens. Last time it happened, as the report said, 51 years ago, Will Chamberlain, 1968, and he had 22 points, 25 rebounds, and 21 assists. So that's a great, great achievement. There's nothing you can say about that but brilliant. And by the way, he dedicated the twenties to rapper Nipsey Hussle, who got gunned in L.A. over sometime this week.
Well, as you mentioned, Momoyo, the regular season winding down. The playoffs begin on April 13th. What does the playoff picture look like right now?
So the playoff picture is getting more solidified with only 5 games before the regular season ends. From the Western Conference, 1-8, that is number 1-8, 8 teams go into the playoffs. 1-8, you have defending champions Golden State Warriors, Denver Nuggets, Houston Rockets, Portland Trail Blazers, Utah Jazz, LA Clippers, San Antonio Spurs, and OKC. The rest are completely out of the playoffs. So what remains in this conference here, they are jostling for positions. Do I stay at number 8 so that, you know, I try to get out of number 8 and avoid playing Golden State Warriors in the in the first round, that kind of thing. But in the Eastern Conference, 1-8, you have Milwaukee Bucks, Toronto Raptors, Philadelphia 76ers, Boston Celtics, Indiana Pacers, Detroit Pistons, Brooklyn Nets, and Miami Heat. Now, things could change rapidly in this one, in the last 3 positions, because Orlando Magic, with a 38-40 record, is only a game or 2 away from upsetting teams 6-8. That is Detroit, Brooklyn, Miami. One of them could be upset by Orlando Magic, depending on how, you know, it turns out in the last 5 games.
Let's move to the collegiate ranks, Momoyo. Saturday is going to be a really big day for college basketball fans. Probably the best day of the year for college basketball. The Final Four semifinal matchups in Minneapolis, Minnesota. Let's give a quick shout out for the 4 teams. Texas Tech in the Final Four for the first time. Virginia, Auburn University, and Michigan State. Your thoughts?
The reason why people like college basketball at this time of the year is the upsets, the unknown, the unpredictability of it. You know, the Cinderella stories. Auburn gets to the Final Four for the first time in history. This is a team where Charles Barkley played as a college
He's pretty excited,
so,
isn't he?
So he was very excited. He was all over the television. Yeah. And they're playing Virginia, where your friend Mamadi Diakite is playing. And, you know, he made the winning basket.
Key play.
Yeah, on the Elite Eight. The other matchup is Michigan State and Texas Tech. And Michigan State is where Magic Johnson played college ball. So, you know, if the gods of basketball agree, you could see Michigan State and Auburn, that is Charles Barkley and Magic Johnson, in the final game, Monday, April 8th.
We would see them courtside, wouldn't we, if those two teams made it?
And the television cameras would be on them throughout.
But,
there's also the women tournament, which is also very exciting. You have Notre Dame against UConn. UConn, and when we talk about history, UConn is going into the Final Four for the 12th year consecutive.
Amazing.
And they're trying to win their 12th championship. They lost the last two championships, but this is a big, big team. And they're playing Notre Dame, who are defending champions. You remember Arike Ogunbowale?
Could be a force.
She could be a force, and she knows how to win when it's the time to win. The other matchup is Oregon and Baylor. And Oregon, remember last week I told you about this young lady, Sabrina Ionescu. She's a delight to watch. And she's playing Baylor in the final. In the Elite Eight, she had 31 points, 8 assists, and 7 rebounds. This would be a very, very tight game.
Do you want to make some predictions, Memorial? National champions on the men's side and the
You know, last
side.
Time you asked me, I picked Duke. And
They're out.
They're out. So this time, I'm picking Michigan State. I think they're playing very well. On the women's side, I still like Notre Dame. I still like, you know, Arike Ogunbowale and the Lady Young. They're just marvelous.
We'll see how your predictions pan out next week.
I will see.
All right. Thanks, Mamoyo. That's the voice of America, Swahili Service Chief Mamoyo Hoops Hamza. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the voice of America. European football's top official has spoken out against racism in the sport. Joining us with more details is my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten. Hi, Gwen.
Hey there, Sonny. On Tuesday, UEFA President Alexander Seferin gave the opening address at an Equal Game conference in London. In his speech, Seferin spoke on the ongoing reports of racism in the sport.
Today, I am ashamed. I'm ashamed to be here with you. I'm ashamed to see extremist movements use our sport as a vehicle for their messages of hatred and intolerance. A stadium must not and must never be a forum in which people are allowed to express their sickening fascist nostalgia. That's why I'm ashamed. I'm ashamed to see lone individuals utter racist, sexist, and homophobic insults without realizing the devastating effect and symbolic significance of their words. That's why I am ashamed. I'm ashamed to see bananas thrown on the pitches, to hear monkey noises in the stands, or to see a photo of Anne Frank photoshopped by so-called supporters. The people who do these things, each in their own way, trample on human dignity. They bring shame not only to football, but on the human race. That's why I am ashamed. I'm ashamed to see how the public authorities in some countries are simply failing to react. It is worrying to see certain leaders, politicians, playing down these incidents when they occur in their own countries. They seem to think a stadium is a suitable place where people can go to vent their feelings and express their unhappiness and misunderstanding of the world around them. That's why I am ashamed.
Seffron was followed by Football Association Chairman Greg Clark, who called for a zero-tolerance approach and challenged UEFA to improve on their current anti-racism protocol.
The protocol asks the referee to stop the match if racist behavior is of a strong magnitude and intensity. I now don't think that's good enough. We should take this opportunity to revisit these thresholds. The young men and women who take the field representing our clubs and countries not only deserve, but should be entitled to play their football in a safe environment, entirely free from racial abuse. There should be no judgment call on whether something is of a strong magnitude. Racism is racism, and we should have zero tolerance for it. I understand the protocol was designed for mass chanting, but receiving a torrent of vile racist abuse from one person when you're taking a throw in a corner is wholly unacceptable too. So we should look again at our definitions to make sure that the protocol covers this, because this needs to stop.
Last week, England players Danny Rose and Raheem Sterling were subjected to monkey chants and racist slurs during their match against Montenegro. In response, Sterling called for stronger punishments for abuse and Montenegro to be hit with a stadium ban. On Tuesday, FA Chairman Greg Clark said when players like Raheem Sterling speak out against racism, we must listen and we must respond. But Clark also stressed that the burden of combating racism should not fall on the players themselves.
There is an undue burden on the player to report incidents themselves. We all know what racism looks like. We should see how we can better report incidents through the UEFA match delegate or through employing specific spotters and take the weight off the players' shoulders and act ourselves. We have a duty to protect them. The responsibility should not be on them to instigate action.
Alexander Seferin expressed his shame that in Europe, not a weekend has gone by without a discriminatory act taking place in a football stadium. And he said it is necessary for the Equal Game Conference to take place as a reminder that football is an all-inclusive sport.
Football, unlike many other sports, can be played by anyone. Everyone is welcome. It is inclusive, and it always embraces diversity. Football is a beautiful game because it brings people together and it acts as a social catalyst.
Ivorian Juventus striker Moise Keane and two of his black teammates are the latest targets of racial abuse. They were subjected to jeers during their match against Cagliari in Italy just hours after the UEFA president spoke out against racism in the sport. As pressure mounts for UEFA to enforce harsher punishments under the current guidelines, the minimum punishment for incidents of racism is a partial stadium closure. A fine is handed down with a second offense, and the most severe punishment includes a full stadium closure, deduction of points, and disqualification from competition from the offending team. And that's all from me, Sonny. I'll hand it back over to you.
Thanks, Gwen. That's my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. In more soccer news, FIFA's first female Secretary General, Fatma Samora, was among those honored at the Nigeria Football Federation Awards Ceremony in Lagos. Iron Mike Mbonye reports from Nigeria's commercial capital.
Miss Fatma Samora, the Secretary General of World Football Governing Body, FIFA, received an award from the Nigeria Football Federation, NFF, in Lagos. The Senegalese-born football administrator received the NFF Order of Merit Award. In a special tribute, Danny Jordan, the president of South Africa Football Association, commended Samora for giving Africans a sense of belonging as members of World Football Governing Body.
I want to thank you, and we are very proud of you. We celebrate you as the first African to help to transform the world football. This is the football of our continent, and you are a product of this continent. We are very proud of you. Thank you.
Moses Magogo, the president of Uganda Football Association, says Samora's presence in FIFA is an opportunity for Africa to win the World Cup for the first time.
We needed somebody as Africa. We needed to prove that we are ready to take on the world, especially in terms of the administration. We are not going to talk about the past. We all know what happened. Let me take this opportunity to talk about the future, that with Madame Fatima at FIFA, with President Gianni, with the FIFA Forward Program, as FA presidents, as CAF, we have no excuse apart from winning the World Cup for the first time.
The president of Nigeria Football Federation, Amaju Pinnick, says the FIFA Secretary General is an amazing personality.
Look at where FIFA is coming from and look at where FIFA is today. 100% commitment. She has been able to transform FIFA with the help, indeed, of the game changer, Gianni Infantino.
Fatma Samora, in her speech, says the award is for all Africans and those who believe that football is a unifying factor.
So this award is not only for me in my capacity of FIFA Secretary General. It is for all Africa. It is for all of you. It is for my brothers and my sisters who are on stage and those who really accepted this invitation to come and join the Nigeria Football Federation. It's for all those who believe in the ideal of using football as one of the most unique unifier.
The Super Eagles class of 1994 were rewarded for qualifying Nigeria for our first FIFA World Cup finals and winning the Africa Cup of Nations on an away soil for the first time. Other winners of awards are Ahmed Musa, Super Eagles standing captain. He won the best male player of the year, while Onomebi, Super Falcons midfielder, emerged the best female player of the year. For the Sunny Side of Sports, this is Mike Mbonye in Lagos.
Thanks, Iron Mike. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. Brazilian football legend Pelé was hospitalized in Paris Tuesday evening. RMC Sport reported on its website that the 78-year-old Pelé is not in a life-threatening condition. It says he was admitted to the hospital as a precaution with a strong fever after earlier attending a social function with French football star Kylian Mbappe. Pelé appeared in a wheelchair at last year's World Cup draw in Moscow, where he was photographed with Russian President Vladimir Putin and Argentine soccer great Diego Maradona. A month later, he collapsed from exhaustion and was taken to a hospital. And we here at the Sunny Side of Sports wish the great Pelé nothing but the best, and we hope he'll get out of that hospital soon. In African athletics, Kenya's Nancy Kiprop is hoping to make some history in Sunday's Vienna City Marathon in Austria. The 39-year-old Kiprop is aiming to become the first woman to win the Vienna title three times. Nancy is the defending women's champion in the Austrian capital. She set her personal marathon best last year in Frankfurt, Germany, where she clocked 2 hours, 22 minutes, and 46 seconds. The energetic Andy Edwards arrived in Vienna on Wednesday to cover the race. Andy reminds us that Nancy Kiprop uses the prize money she wins at races to help support her school in Iten, Kenya. Nancy Kiprop should be challenged in Vienna by Ethiopia's Rama Tusa, who has a personal marathon best of 2 hours, 23 minutes, and 46 seconds. And that wraps up the April 3rd edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer Rob McLean. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
I get it. Hello, this is Shaka Sali, host of Straight Talk Africa.
On April 7th, the United Nations marks the 25th anniversary of the genocide in Rwanda. More than 800,000 people, mostly Tutsi, were killed. An in-depth discussion of what Rwanda and the world has learned from this tragedy on the next Stray Talk Africa.
Tune in Wednesdays at 18:30 UTC right here on VOA Africa.
What's up, Africa? I'm Jackson Vunganyi in Washington.
And I'm Nadia Sami. Thanks for joining us. We'd love to have you on board. This is Upfront on The Voice of America.
Listen, we need to discuss what's going on in your communities, issues that affect you.
Are you involved?
Are you engaged in transforming your society?
Today, right now, this is your platform.
Let us know what you've been up to.
Check us out on Facebook. Drop us a line.
It's Upfront Wednesdays at 17:30 UTC right here on VOA Africa.
Are you suffering from heartache? No problem. We've got the cure for you. The African beat can soothe your heartache with its awesome tunes from the African continent. So join me, David Van Dyke, Mondays through Fridays at 0900 and 2000 Universal Time for a healing journey. I guarantee it.
Hello, Africa. This is James Barty, host of Daybreak Africa, inviting you to join me every weekday morning at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC as we bring you the latest in African news, features, and sports. You can also be a part of Daybreak Africa through our listener mail segment by sending your comments and opinions to daybreakafrica@voanews.com. You can also call us and leave us a voicemail at 202-205-9942. That's 202-205-9942. And when you hear the Voice of America identification, press the number 25 to leave us your message. Start your day with Daybreak Africa every weekday morning at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC on The Voice of America.
This is Science in a Minute.
The Indian government confirmed that it conducted an anti-satellite missile test on March 27, 2019. The missile destroyed one of India's existing satellites that was in low Earth orbit. NASA's administrator, Jim Bridenstine, speaking at a town hall meeting at the space agency's headquarters, said that 400 pieces of orbital debris were identified from the event. He said 60 pieces larger than 10 centimeters are being tracked. According to Administrator Bridenstine,
of those 60, we know that 24 of them are going above the apogee of the International Space Station. That is a terrible, terrible thing to create an event that sends debris in an apogee that goes above the International Space Station.
India joins the U.S., Russia, and China in successfully testing anti-satellite weapons. I'm VOA's Rick Pantaleo.
Border Crossings.
Join host Larry London.
Larry London.
On Border Crossings, VOA's only worldwide music request hour.
Whoa.
Every weekday at 1500 Universal. Tune in for the biggest hits and amazing artists. Win prizes and get the latest news from exclusive celebrity interviews.
Ooh.
Send your requests to Facebook at VOA Larry London, Twitter at Border Crossings, or Instagram at Border Crossings VOA. Or call 202-619-2077 and have your favorite music played to the entire world.
Ah.
Don't miss Border Crossings every weekday at 1500 Universal, only on The Voice of America.
VOA News.
VOA. When news breaks, VOA News is there. Around the clock, listen to VOA Newscast at the top of each hour, along with our detailed news programs and analysis.
We are online at voanews.com.
VOA, your trusted source of news and information.